Book of Jude. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Jude, and I'll be reading out of verse 24. Our Father, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Our Lord, would you breathe on us this week? Would you brood over us? Would you stir amongst us? Would you speak unto us? Would you hollow us out and fill us up? Would you help us in the areas we don't even know we need help? And I'll thank you and praise you for it. Would you, God, indeed anoint, Lord, this meeting? Now, Father, I don't know the prayers. You know the prayers that has been prayed for this meeting. But, Lord, you know the prayer you prayed for this meeting. Father, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you can be seated. Jude and the 24th verse. Let's begin reading in verse 20 just to get warmed up to the scriptures. How many of you love your Bible?
Amen.
Jude, and let's begin actually in verse 17. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. All right, I'm going to need a little more help than that. I refuse to preach by myself. Y'all got to come help me. So I'm going to read it again, give you a chance to act like you have been God-breathed, born again, blood-washed, heaven-bound, and hell-proof. I'm going to give you a chance to demonstrate that. Now, unto him that is able. All right, this side got it. And I would fire this side, but you got the pastor over there. That's the only thing that saved you right there. Let's try it again. Now, unto him that is able. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad somebody's able? In the hours that we live, we've got a God who's able. Now unto him that is able to keep you.
Yes, amen.
Who's going to Haiti? Stand up if you're going to Haiti. Just stand up. Right, Lord told me to do this a while ago. All right, there's several of them going. Now let's just for that's one of the most black demonic witchcraft places on planet Earth. So let's wrap this crowd up in that word for just a minute. Hey,
amen.
Unto him that's able to keep you. All right, I felt pretty good about that. I may do that one more time. Why don't the church say it with me? We need to wrap these people up. There ain't no deeper, darker witch spot witchcraft spot on the planet than where they're going, Haiti, Jamaica, New Orleans, and Miami. And then somewhere and over in Africa, they could probably give them a run for it. But let's try this again. Church, help me read. Now unto him that is able to keep you. That was for y'all. You can be seen. We'll just wrap them up in that and let them take that with them. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Now I'm going to be here all week, so I'm going to take my time. I said, I'm going to be here all week, so I'm going to take my time. I've had a revival in my heart for this church ever since I've been coming here. I've been awaiting on it. Had to wait a long time. I think God's going to help us. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Now I'm glad he's taking care of my falls and he's taking care of my faults. Do we need a new battery? Is that what this is doing? We can get one if we need one. It don't matter to me. I'll be fine. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm glad I know something about his glory. Had a man try to tell me last week, that's excitement. Tried to demean it, minimize it, cheapen it. Put it down in the ranks of flesh. Well, I don't mind excitement, he said. Well, I ain't talking about excitement. I ain't talking about the excitement of the flesh. I'm talking about the glory of God. I'm glad I know something about the glory of God. His glory with exceeding joy. I'm not scared of that exceeding joy. That runs over your cup and gets in your saucer. I'll be looking for some of that this week if the Lord helps us. Now I want to preach a little while this morning. The Lord's put this in my heart this morning. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Aren't you glad about that? Let me say just a word about where we're at in our reading. And then I'll give you my three thoughts that I have this morning. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Well, I'll just scratch the introduction and let the Holy Ghost help you. I want to bring out three thoughts. And I want to tie this in with Brother John. Do you see John there in the next two verses as you open up the Revelation? How many of y'all love Brother John? Thank God, I look forward to talking with him one day. Oh, Brother John. And I want to take that. See, J. Vernon McGee said, the book of Jude, as it stands right before the Revelation, it's the last church epistle. It's the last one. And it's on that one page right before the second coming. And J. Vernon McGee said the book of Jude gives us a Kodak snapshot, which none of these youngins know what that is, of world and church conditions. And I don't know what the BlackBerry, Raspberry, MyFace smartphone stuff is. He said it gives us a picture of world and church conditions as they would be right before the second coming. Need to take 5 seconds and mention the fact that Jesus is coming back and he's coming again. That's Revelation chapter 1, Underline verse 7, first line, maybe a new Christian or a first time person being in church here this morning. Want to make a little announcement. Jesus came the first time and He's coming the second time. Yes. Revelation 1:7, behold, He cometh with clouds. I wish I had somebody right there. He's coming again. And so here we are, right before. Now you and I are living in the book of Jude. And I'm skipping an hour of preaching, because that's what it always turns into, that introduction. And them 3 points have had to ride in the back seat so many times and never even got to go to church. I'm getting them in today. And so I've skipped the introduction and want to say out of verse 24 that He is able in these hours that we live, right before Jesus comes back, He's able to keep us from falling. Now, I do need to mention this before I say my 3 things. That falling, I do believe it refers to the falling away. We know a just man falleth 7 times. I heard Moses beating that rock with that rod. We saw Simon Peter cursing. We know about David's sin with Bathsheba. Abraham, the father of the faith, living in fear every time they got in a bad neighborhood and just let them take his wife. We saw Elijah, after defeating 850 false prophets, couldn't stand up to one woman, which that is understandable. And I'm sorry, girls, that wasn't nice. I said, sorry about that. Not really, but kind of. And there's Elijah. We saw him getting suicidal the day after a great victory. And James said he is a man subject to like passions as we are. And I'm so glad the Bible was honest and told us how bad all them sinners was. And I'm glad it told us how bad all we sinners are. And so we're not talking about if you ever commit a sin, then God lets you down. That ain't what we're talking about. Unto Him that's able to keep you from the great falling away into apostasy in these apostate hours. And ultimate final fall off into the abyss, into perdition. And by the way, a saved person can't become an apostate. They were with us, but they weren't of us. Can I get a witness right there? And if you can forsake the faith, and you can forsake the Word of God, and you can forsake the assembly, and you can forsake the Lord God, and never want to come back, and He never go after you, you wasn't one of His. He chastens every son whom He receives. And God's the best parent there ever was. Hallelujah to God! He's faithful to chasten us, and He's faithful to be consistent. And He's never lost one except the son of perdition. And He was a devil from the beginning. And so the sense in the Scriptures here that He's able to keep me from that great falling away in the hours of apostasy. I don't know about y'all. I feel led to ask you, how many of y'all really want God to do something in the meeting this week? It's down in my soul, Pastor. And I believe it's the right time. The time's here. It's the right time for me to be here. And I want to stop and say this. I'm so glad we still got Brother Lawson with us. I'm glad we still got him with us after the last year or so. Amen, Sister Lawson and youngins and church family. And it's my honor. Oh yeah, I feel real special. You don't know what it is. An honor for me to be with your preacher in this place this week. Amen. And what I'd like for God to do, and God ain't got to do anything I want to do. God will do what He wants to do. But what if God sent us a great revival that turned this church upside down? What if God sent a great move that this church has never seen? Not that we need God to do anything sensational. We need Him to do something in our spiritual. Not in the arena of sensational. But I'm a thinking, what if the Lord And I just say it like this. And what if, well, I leave that between the Lord. What if God decided to come down and do something in this place that we've never seen of such the likes in this place?
Amen.
I'm testing the waters. What if the Lord wanted to do that?
Over to God.
What if He's planning on doing it?
Over to God.
How much do y'all want it?
Bring it
the Lord. To bow the heavens and come down and rearrange the spiritual topography of this body. Y'all ain't helping me. I'm willing. I say this. I'm willing to be obedient this week. I'm willing to humble myself and be obedient and to whatever the Lord says. And I'm willing to repent of my sins.
Amen.
It's the simplest thing your children does that pleases you. It's the little simple things that the God's youngins does that pleases you. What was y'all talking about? Now unto Him that's able to keep you from that great falling away. And I'm glad that when a just man falleth, and he can fall, and he arise seven times. And when a saved man falls, he is in the hand of the Lord when he is standing, and he'll be in the hand of the Lord when he falls.
Amen.
And God will pick you up without ever dropping you.
Yeah.
I said, God will pick you up without ever dropping you. Amen. Send you back. And so thank God. Skipping the introduction has been hogging out anyhow. Here's three thoughts. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling, even when you're down. I'm glad that God's able to keep you from falling. Even when you're down.
Thank you, Lord.
Look at John in the very next chapter. There's John in Revelation chapter 1, and he was on the Isle of Patmos. That's in verse 9. We know that he had been boiled in hot oil by the Roman Empire. We know that he had been cast out on that small, scraggly, barren island. We know that he is the last one left. There wasn't no other apostles left. He was a lonely preacher. And all his preaching friends that he started out with had already gone. And there is John, and he's laid down in my mind's eye. He's cast out on that island, and he's laid down there on that Isle of Patmos after having been boiled in oil, but they couldn't kill him. He is the only disciple that ever showed up at the cross. And you can't kill disciples that have already been to Calvary. And he was laid out there on that aisle. And I just want to say this and expect y'all to get it right here on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to wait on you too long to get it. Just expect you to get it. He was laid out there cast down, and he heard a voice behind him. The Lord showed up and encouraged old brother John. The Lord showed up and enlightened old brother John. The Lord showed up and invigorated old brother John. Brother Lawson, I wonder, and the Bible don't say this, but I wonder if John was laid out there on that aisle. I mean, the last Mohican, the only apostle left, and brothered out there and alone. Let me tell you something. Loneliness is a bigger, that's a bigger creature than you understand. And Jesus cried out of the 3 hours of darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's John laid out there. Brother Lawson, I just wonder if he is laying there and these thoughts cross his mind. Is this how it really ends? Again, the Bible don't say that. I'm just thinking. I wonder if he laid out there and he said, is this how it all ends? He'd been faithful. I need some help right there. Thank God for faithful soldiers, faithful stewards, faithful saints. Thank God, honey, that's all these are looking for on the other side. Well done, thou good and faithful. By the way, faithful is something we all can be. God set the bar right there for all of us, didn't he? All of that, oh my. John had been faithful. In my humble opinion, he is the only good preacher Jesus had before they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't John lay his head on the bosom of Jesus while the other ones were fussing over where their thrones would be? God give us some church members who quit jockeying for position and quit getting jealous of other people's promotion and just be satisfied to lay on his bosom. Help me right there. John laid his head on his bosom. And then wasn't John the only one that stood at the cross of Calvary? And John was the first one to the empty tomb. Simon Peter was the first one in, but Brother John was the first one there. You got to love old Simon Peter. He had several disorders. Amen. Bipolar, schizophrenic, ADHD, manic, everything. Y'all quit being scared of all that stuff. Them psychologists are making that up anyhow. You understand that, don't you? That's just regular afflictions and persecution. Y'all help me now. Amen. Adam and Eve sinned in that garden, and we've been messed up ever since. Quit being scared of being messed up. I got a Savior who can reach in there and fix anything. Help me now. Don't make me run that rabbit. There's old Simon Peter. He just dove right in. But old Brother John, he got there first and he looked in. Oh, I mean, he was faithful. And what about those years when they were making church history in the book of Acts? And there Simon Peter and Saint Brother Paul was the ones that made history. John is never mentioned in the book of Acts. God, I mean, honey, when they were turning the world upside down and tearing up continents for the gospel's sake, God had old Brother John doing something else. Standing there at Calvary, God gave John a rest home ministry with one member in it. And he said, hey, he said, take, Jesus called her woman. All he ever called her was woman. He didn't want to give him Roman Catholic no more. No advantage right there. So all he ever called her was woman. Amen. I pick on Jennifer. Everyone, they'll all be here tomorrow night. I pick on Jennifer and call her woman sometimes right there. And my boys picked up on that. And I said the other day, and he's a shy fella, but he's pretty bold when we're at the house. And I said, son, go back here and get your sister. We go. He went back and said, woman, y'all get your act together. I thought, praise the Lord, he's turning out good. This is a blessing right here. And then I warned him, son, there's consequences of that sort of stuff. You're going to get hurt acting like that. But go as far as you dare, son. And there's John, and he was satisfied to take Mary and just take care of her. All them years. I want y'all to know, some of y'all feel like you're doing little things. Yeah. And you're thinking that God may not have thought much of you, just give you something little. Oh, honey, you don't know. He ain't never looked down here and ain't seen anything big.
Yes.
It's all little in his eyes, but it's all big in his heart. It's a big deal. And for the precious gray-haired lady around here that may spend your life taking care of somebody else's child or taking care of somebody in a wheelchair, You're going to be amazed the size and the glory on your crown. Amen. When some great famous preacher or some renowned missionary with great accomplishments, you might be amazed when God, hey, gets them little stepchildren or them grandchildren, get that little one that you're pushing in a wheelchair, that one you took care of all them years and you had no idea that was as precious to your father as the 10,000 member church. Faithful. There's John. He wrote them epistles. He's just sitting there and said, my little children. Oh my. God hasn't taken care of old grandmothers and little children. How many years? I don't think we know. Did he take care of Mary before she went on to glory? And then God, and Jesus had told him, said, John, come here. This is so little. You're the only one I can trust. That's good. Well, that didn't help y'all. I'll fire that whole side over there. Y'all got a pass today. You got a free pass. He said, this is so little. You're the only one I can trust. And then, now I just had this thought right here in front of you. This ain't never hit me till just now. And then God gave him a children's church. Well, I may sign my own Bible. I ain't never, that's new to me. That's my pen's over there, so I'll do it later. That's helped me. Somewhere in there, I feel like when Mary died, he come over there into that First John and said, okay, I'm the old white-haired, white-bearded preacher. I'm the only one left. And all them other apostles are gone. Come here, little infant church. And 7-9 times in 1 John, he said, little children. Y'all ain't helping me. I'm getting a whole new sermon right in front of you. And I'm the only one enjoying it. My little children. Ooh. You mamas, oh, you've been mocked and scoffed in this nation. Help me now. Oh my, listen, you can take all these last day Jezebel harlots, Hillary Clinton, Ellen DeGeneres, Rosie O'Donnell, Barbara Boxer, Nancy Pelosi. If I knew any more, I'd mention them. I don't know any more. Kind of glad I don't. Oh, yeah, I'm still mad at Jane Fonda. Thank you very much. And all of you little... all of these little girls are training to be strippers, and all that Miley Cyrus and Britney Spears and all of this Disney generation and all that little rock music, training them all to be little harlot performers. Y'all got to help me now. You do know nakedness still grieves God. Nakedness grieves God. It's the first thing man tried to hide. It's the first thing God covered up. Oh, neighbor. And I want you to know something, that these mothers, they're killing babies in this hour. I can't think of her name, and I'm glad I can't. I was looking for you on the television this morning, Pastor Lawson, and didn't find you. I found some Hollywood harlots, and she's standing there, and she said somebody's told me. She does late night on something. But if you remember who I'm talking about, don't tell me. And Chelsea, wish to have no Chelsea lately. See, these kids know. And Chelsea. And she stand there and she said, somebody said to me that you don't even know what it's like to be a mother. And she said, oh, yes, I do. That's why I never plan on finishing a pregnancy. Heard her say that this morning, Pastor. Planning on killing every baby that she conceives. I got news for you. When God... somehow I got talking about mother and little children. So I'm just going to go with it. Hey, I'm glad for some old-timey mamas who are proud to have little children. Thank God. Honey, listen, girls, you need to understand something. If they's ever call on you to come to be the president of the United States, you would have to step down from being a mother and a wife. It'd be a big step down. But you were created in the image of man and for the glory of God, the glory of man. And there you'd have to step down from being the bearer of life. Oh, I got news for you. John took care of that mother, and John then took care of them little children, that little flock. And he said, "My little children." He said, I'm telling you about not what I've heard about, not what I've heard talked about, but I've seen him, I've felt him, I've handled him, and these things are real, thank God. We're not talking about cunningly devised fables. Thank God this thing is real. There is a God on the other side of that blue veil. There is a hell burning down below the cursed mantle of that earth. Jesus Christ was the incarnate Son of God. He was born of a virgin, and he did hang between two worlds, honey, to save you out of one and put you in the other. John had been faithful. Somehow, Pastor, I feel if we're going to have a revival this week, it's going to be something to do with the mamas and the children. Stuff ain't in my outline. I ain't never thunk it before. I'm going with the Holy Ghost. He wants to talk about the mamas and little children. You understand that, sir, you may be the head of your home, but the lady is the heart. And honey, gentlemen, we love our youngins. We hug them. We fight for them. We feed them. We love them. We provide for them. Protect them. But you ain't got their heart. That's that mama. Y'all ain't helping me. That mama's got that heart. That mama is that heart. And if it ain't a coming out of mama, it ain't a getting on them youngins. Now, if mama's singing country music and wearing her boot scooting boogie jeans, then how you think them youngins gonna be acting? Got her bullfighting britches on. But if mama's covered with modesty, not just on her body, but on her soul, and she's walking around the house and she ain't singing "A Tear in My Beer," and "Whose Boots Have Your Bed Been Under?" All that's out of hell. You understand that, don't you? Now, when I hear George Jones, I have to stop a minute and ask the Lord, "Is it all right to listen?" And he says, "No." And I always, "Are you sure?" And I listen another little bit, and then I go on with the Lord and have to confess it. But I got news for you. If that mama's singing "Amazing Grace," honey, walking around that house, what you think's going in them youngins' hearts? If she's on the phone with the other four church gossips saying, "Well, I know we love Brother and Sister Lawson, but I tell you what, I got the look." Well, what about a mama then instead who'd say, "Thank God," sometime about Tuesday, "Thank God for Brother Lawson and what he preached Sunday. Thank God for Sister Lawson standing by his side all these years." Which one of them you think is going to get down in their soul? You got that mama that says, "Jesus, precious Jesus," instead of cussing, saying, "Jesus. Help me now. Y'all ain't helping me." There's a sub point popped up I ain't never seen. And it ain't going to let them other big points in. They'll ride home mad for now, the fifth week in a row. What about that mama that whispers the name of Jesus? or the one that uses it for slang. Y'all ain't helping me. Them women bowed down at the feet of Jesus, preacher. And it must have been all right in the New Testament. Their tears and their hair. They held him by his feet. That must have been appropriate. There must have been nothing inappropriate about that. They bowed down and held him at his feet. And with their hair, their glory, and their tears, their heart, they loved on their Lord. Y'all ain't helping me. What verses is it in the next chapter that begin to describe the body of Jesus? Some of you preachers help me. He said, being turned, I saw the voice that spake with me. And when I turned, y'all help me, what verse is it? I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Clothes, something there that got down to his feet. Preacher, I seen something the other day preaching I never had seen. And by the way, this little old long-haired, brown-haired, sissy-looking, effeminate, San Francisco-looking, Key West-looking thing that Hollywood put out, that ain't what Jesus looks like! Some little old girly acting, tiptoeing on little precious toes with little dishpan hands, slender fingers sticking out. That ain't the Son of God. That's some surfer dude Hollywood paid. Help me now. You want to know what he looked like the last time we saw him in the church age? You're fixing to read there. His head and his hair were white like wool, and out of his eyes like fire, and his feet like fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace. Preacher, I don't know. You help me with this. You help me with this, Pastor Lawson. I don't know. I think we got a physical description of Jesus in the Song of Solomon. Black hair. Dove's eyes. But over there when John seen him, it done turned white. He's at the end of time. It could have been glory shining. Or it may have been because he's at the end of time. Y'all ain't helping me. He's saying Jesus aged and nothing, there's no decay in him, nothing corruptible. But it may be that God changed him. I don't know. You go look at that. Head and his hair white like wool. But here's what stuck out to me. I'm talking about them women down there worshiping his feet and holding his feet. The only two things uncovered in the church age on the body of Christ was his head and his feet. Y'all ain't helping me. I'm going to say this and see if you can get it. John saw him in the middle of the churches. His church age body, his church age appearance. And when he saw him, all he could see was his head and his feet. His body was covered with a righteous robe. You're supposed to be running ahead of me. I said, we're the body. And we're covered. All right, I'm going to sign my own Bible. They don't like that either, preacher. We are the body, and we're covered. The only two things uncovered in the church age, his head and his feet. Where is his head in this hour? Colossians said Christ is our head, and he's seated in the heavens. And the earth is my... Thank you. And so guess who's the feet? That's us on the earth doing the work of Christ. Help me with this. I know is what I'm saying. Y'all got to help me meditate on this. And so them women that love the Lord, lovers of Christ, in the most holy way imaginable. They would wash them feet. They would wipe them feet. They would wet those feet with their tears. The feet was the one doing the working and the going and carrying the burden. Y'all ain't helping me. And we here on earth were His footsteps. We're doing the carrying and the going and the working and the getting dusty and getting cut and getting hurt and getting fatigued and getting bruised. But what about them church women that'll come around and bring that worship on the feet?
Amen.
And wet it and wash it and wipe it. Y'all ain't with their glory. Y'all ain't helping me. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, the Holy Ghost will have to help you. Brethren, we need a revival in this hour of some holy women, some holy mamas, some holy wives, and the little children. My little children. Brother, we ain't going to have revival in this church like we need it until some of you get your home on this altar and let God do some things. Gentlemen, you are the head. If we got filled with the Holy Ghost this week, the men would stand up and the women would bow down. That's the natural order. When a man ain't right with God, he crumples down, quits, and grovels around, and lays around and crawls around in sin. And when a woman ain't right with God, she bows up and stands up and stiff neck and tries to take over. Help me now. Y'all got to help me. And you got a bunch of wimpy men and a bunch of wicked women. And they swap roles. The man laid down and the woman's took over. Fellas, don't you be hard on her. If you'd make a stand and help her. And she ain't bound before you so much. She's bound before the Lord. She's bound before Jesus. Help me now. You ain't standing up lording over her. You're standing up making a stand the Lord before the Lord. And if you'd stand up before the Lord and she'd bow down before the Lord, you could be the head of that home. She could be the heart of it.
Amen.
Well, I had three sermons picked out and none of them sounded like this. My little children. I'm just telling you, I seen Brother John walking through there. He took care of the mother of the Lord all them years. And I just feel in my soul, I can't prove it, ain't trying to. We'll ask the Lord when we get to heaven. I'll ask John about the time he buried Mary, that the Lord didn't give him the little infant church.
Amen.
He said, now take care of these my little children. And he got them in there and he said, my little children. And he began to pastor them and shepherd them and teach them and love them and enlighten them and deepen them and enrich them. My little children. There's old John. I'm going to say this and I'll be done this morning. There's John laid out there and he's going to say, I wonder if he thought, is this how it really ends? And an angel shows up and says, nope. I thought you'd like it. I thought you boys would like that. That's why I came over here. All right, half of y'all didn't get it because you hadn't ever read the book of Revelation. Let's try it again. Wonder if John was laying there thinking, is this how it all ends? And the Lord shows up and says, nope, actually it don't end this way. Get you out a little pen, John. Gird up your loins and put on your rapture shoes. I'm fitting to show you how this ends. How does it all end? They're probably not a better. I'll come over here and brag on him so he won't think I'm buttering him up too much. Ain't not a better prophecy preacher left in this country than Brother Charles Lawson, and thank God for it. And I know he's a humble man about it. And it's because he studies and because he cares. Not because he's getting visions and spooky visions. It's because he studies and he labors and the Holy Ghost talks with him about. Can I get a witness right there? And the Lord said to John, no, it's not how it is. And brother, he said, you write down seven letters of seven churches and then we go into heaven. I'm going to show you something. And immediately I sent the Spirit. Woo, is this how it ends? And he's laying out there on that little island, and God took him up and showed him a great big heaven where he'd be living. And the world empire had dumped him out there on his face after boiling him in oil. But God took him and showed him what he was going to do with all the nations one day. Oh my. Sitting over there and seeing the little churches in persecution, but God took him and showed him that new Jerusalem. Is this how it all ends? No, it's not how it ends. My old preaching papaw down in Georgia had a rock altar, went to it over 40 years, twice a day. Wore them old-timey overhauls. Dug wells, raised the garden, fought in World War II. One of them old-timers. Pastored three churches at one time. One of them old itinerary preachers. He was reading the book of Revelation and went and preached on it. And instead of preaching on everything that John saw, he said, I'm going to preach on some things that John didn't see. He said, I noticed he didn't see no funeral homes over yonder. He didn't see no graveyards. John didn't see no hospital and didn't see no sick people. John didn't see no beer joints, no juke joints, no nightclub. There wasn't no Hollywood over there blaspheming God. Preached on everything John didn't see. I'm praying God helps us this week.
Amen.
I'm praying God visits us.
Yes.
And turns this thing upside down.
Amen.
Not for man's glory.
That's right.
But for Jesus' glory.
Yes.
And not for us telling Him how to do it, but Him telling us how to do it.
Amen.
I want you to bow your heads. Our musicians come. I want everybody to stand. I don't play games with the altar.